Welcome to the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drew.
November's been a big month for sport in Adelaide, including the historic Adelaide Test and numerous other things, including the Pacific School Games. And even at the Norwood Oval, the baseball, there was an incident that happened in regards to the singing of the national anthem, which has attracted 3 million views on YouTube. The young boy in question, Ethan Hall, had a case of the hiccups. And here on this show, we can listen to it again. Proved a very popular incident at the baseball, with everyone loudly applauding young Ethan, who was very brave to continue going through the whole national anthem while suffering the hiccups. There is a further interesting story in regards to the media sort of been able to sort of get all that, because on the day, the 10th innings, which broadcast the games, changed their microphone so that they could pick it up for the viewing public, not realising that that situation was going to occur. So here we have an interview with Jim Manning on the situation as it occurred.
Also gone viral as well, actually made it to the ESPN
So that was an interesting insight for listeners in regards to the capture of Ethan Hall on the Hiccups version of the National Anthem. Another sporting event that was held in November was the Pacific School Games, where there was 4,000 school children participating in 9 sports, aged between 10 and 19, with 12 countries represented. The sports included swimming, diving, basketball, touch football, baseball, softball, soccer, table tennis and goalball. And they played at various venues including Glenelg Baseball Club, Wavell Showgrounds, Pasadena High School, Westminster, SA Aquatic Centre, Netball Centre and the City Parklands. It proved very popular, so popular in fact that they're looking at holding the Pacific School Games again in LA in 2 years. So what did you think of all that, Rick?
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful that we sponsored such a large event. The only thing that really has surprised me, and also that we did it obviously so well that we're likely to get them again, but what I am surprised about is the absolute lack of publicity and promotion that these games were given, because, to be honest, I don't think there's very many people in and around Adelaide that even knew that they were taking place.
No, but it's very good that Adelaide is sort of located in such a way that you can get around easily and have these types of games, and maybe in the future, who knows, we could hold a Commonwealth Games here.
Well, we could. I think there is, to be honest, a bit of a difference between the size and complications of something as large as the Commonwealth Games, which I would think would probably mean that a number of facilities, although they might be there, would need to be updated. And whether we could really afford the cost is probably the biggest question, as against something like these school games where the facilities are adequate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they regularly hold Masters games here because of the way the transport is here and the ease of getting to various different places. But as you say, we need to upgrade a number of stadiums like to the standard of Adelaide Oval.
Oh, exactly, yes.
And while we're talking about Adelaide Oval, now, what do you think of the historic Pink Ball Night Day Test?
Well, I think firstly we have to say that it was an absolute major success. I think undoubtedly with the crowds of 120,000 plus, nearly 40,000 a day on average, which means that it's, I would think, here to stay. I think there is some concern that it may well be the answer also to a number of other grounds, particularly the Wacker and Brisbane, where crowds were very poor, that they might wish to do the same thing. And then there's a question mark about the novelty of the whole thing. Also, I would think with Perth's climate, it would be very suitable over there, whereas in Brisbane with humidity and whatever, it's a little bit hard to judge how suitable it would be. Probably Adelaide's as good a climate for such an experiment as you could have.
And what about the pink ball? There's been a little bit of debate in regards to it swings more, etc., etc., but it's the same material as a red ball, so what's your feeling about that?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that the test, although it was exciting, only ran 3 days, and I don't think it's answered many of the questions concerning the pink ball. The biggest concern they had was whether it would stand up to the wear and tear of full test cricket. And it is a fact that, and it's been openly admitted, that the ground staff were instructed to leave a little more grass on the pitch and to leave the outfield a little bit longer in search of the response that the ball didn't wear out. Now, obviously it didn't, but then again, the game only going 3 days, it wasn't given a huge chance, and the fact that on a traditionally friendly Adelaide Oval batting pitch, the game was over in 3 days, and I can't remember in my living history of a Adelaide test only having, in 4 completed innings, 3 people score 50.
Yes, and another thing about the 3 days, it's the first time an Adelaide test has been completed within 3 days. But the annoying thing for a lot of people, I know myself, I was over in Melbourne and I'd planned to be back Sunday night so I could see the fourth day at least of the test, and I missed out.
Yes, well, I guess you can never guarantee how long any test match is going to go. On the other hand, the pitches were so batting friendly in Brisbane and Perth that the game probably would have gone 15 days if they'd been allowed to. In England, in the last Ashes series, there were games that didn't go more than 3 or 4 days, but then again, their pitches, you almost expect that to happen, but not in Adelaide. And that's what I think leaves a big question mark over what really did happen and why it happened in this test.
Yeah, so I think the beauty of the LA test is that you go there to see batting, and whereas, yes, the game was very exciting, it did lack those big scores.
Well, it did, and really, except for one incredible decision, the game mightn't have even gone 2.5 days. The DRS decision concerning Nathan Lyon's dismissal, which now the Australian Cricket Board's admitted that was wrong, probably, and allowed Australia to score an extra 80 runs, probably delayed the finish of the game by half a session or so. So it really is, I think, open to question. Having been there myself, it was an absolutely beautiful scenario, perfect conditions, and a joy to watch. And as you've just said, it's sad it didn't go a bit longer.
Oh, absolutely. But by all accounts, that last session was just electric with the atmosphere of everyone getting into Test cricket.
Well, it was. And the crowd were clapping as the bowlers were coming in to bowl, and as the wickets fell, it was almost like being at a football match, but in a different sort of atmosphere. It really was beautiful.
It's helped cement Adelaide Oval as just the jewel in the Adelaide crown.
Oh, it is. I mean, it was one of the most beautiful cricket grounds in the world. I believe now it's one of the best stadiums in the world, because it's not a coliseum, with all due respect to the MCG. It still has the atmosphere, and architecturally it is incredibly lovely, and it's a suitable ground for spectators to be able to sit and watch and to use the facilities.
Watching it on the TV, just watching that last over or so, and I was amazed when Lehman sent in Stark with his broken foot, because if Lyon had gone in, I believe that they would have scored the one run to tie sort of on one of those two earlier deliveries.
Well, yes, I guess that's a coach's call. I think probably what the idea was that although Stark was basically immobile, he's a huge hitter of the ball, and that he was, the desire was for him to whack a few sixes and hurry. Didn't work out, but that's the gamble you take, I guess, in sport and making decisions like that.
Yeah, but they only required, one run or something to tie and two to win.
Well, that's true, but the quickest way is sometimes the best way home.
But it was a fantastic spectacle, whether you're there or on the TV. It's really given a boost in the arm for Test cricket.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, the atmosphere was just like a 2020 game, but it was a Test match, and I think it only goes to prove to the doubters that Test cricket is alive and well and can be amazingly attractive to watch.
And of course, Australia win the series.
Well, they won the series. I think basically they won the series, unquestionably, but I think New Zealand were a little unlucky, particularly over that DRS. I think they were, with due respect to the captaincy of New Zealand, I think they made some poor decisions in the earlier Test matches in relation to referrals. And although it looks as though we won the series quite comfortably, it was a lot closer, and I would expect us to be given a real hurry-up when we have the return series in New Zealand early in the new year.
One interesting stat I was looking at recently, that New Zealand have only won 7 Test games in Australia and only won 1 series.
Indeed, that's true. I mean, I think up until recently, there has been quite a large gap between the standard of the two, and the series they won, really, the fellow who really is the difference between New Zealand's success and where they in the past was Richard Hadlee, and he had a huge influence on them. But they have been, over the years, getting more competitive, and when you take into account their population size as against ours, then they do a remarkable job. There's no question about that.
Thank you for listening. Look forward to the next edition.
Thank you.